You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Aaron Air. My name is Greg Bach. I'm sitting in for Jane Matt and Aaron, who is on vacation until Tuesday, but you got me in the big chair along with Sweet Cal B. And you can always be part of the conversation. Call 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or drop a comment on the live stream. Right now, we are broadcasting live streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the place that we still call Twitter. This house still calls it Twitter, no matter what happens. So really quick, before we do anything else, I want to just say thank you to everyone in the live stream comments for their great support on our last segment. I was talking about getting a sleep study, taking better care of myself, and the gushes of love and support are absolutely beautiful, and I appreciate every single one of you for reaching out and just watching us to begin with. So very busy hour for you. Coming up at 11:30, what is a show you love that was only around for one or two seasons? You love it. We didn't get much of it, but it really hit a nerve for you and you want to share with the world. We're going to be taking your calls and your texts at 11:30. So hold on to that information. And 11:50, this shouldn't be a thing. It's okay to laugh edition coming out of London. But before we do all that, I am so very happy right now, Cal. Do you know why I'm happy?
Is it because it's Friday?
Close. It is Friday. There's no getting around that. But it's Friday, and I have as our guest, Mr. Hari Kundabolu is here.
Oh. Hi, Greg. Hey, Calvin. Nice to meet you.
There we go. We flew them all in. We flew them all in for you. So Hari Kundabolu is a stand-up comedian. He is an actor. He is a director. He is a writer. He is a friend. And he is headlining the Laughing Tap this weekend. Now four shows. We did a show last night. We have two more shows tonight, 7:30 and 10. Tomorrow, 7:30 and 10. But it's unfortunately Saturday night sold out. And if you don't move fast, you're going to miss out on Friday today early, the 7:30, because that's almost sold out as well. You have to be late birds. Come to the 10 p.m. shows. That's where it gets a little weird. But it's great to have you back in town, Hari. It's been some time since I've seen you. Lots happened in the world. Lots happened with us. And I just want to welcome you to the show. How are you doing?
I am doing fine, all things considered.
Right? Right. When you ask people, like, how you doing? And people say, I'm doing good. I'm like, how? How are you doing that?
You have to assume whenever people answer, there's a little asterisk that's connected to whatever they're saying.
All things considered. There you go. I'm doing great. All things considered.
All things considered.
Now, you've been doing stand-up, Hari, for, God, you've been doing it for 20-plus years now?
God. I started when I was 17, so yeah, it's been 25 years.
Yeah. And, you know, you came to my radar by way of Mr. W. Kamau Bell's Totally Biased on FX. Excuse me. That definitely was a short-lived show that really resonated with me as a comedian and just a person who enjoys a bit of funny with their politics.
I mean, it was a special show also because we had the most diverse writing staff on television. I think probably still, to be perfectly honest, like it was executive produced by Chris Rock. It had W. Kamau Bell as this, you know, incredible host who was new to most Americans at that time. And you know, he had his writers do correspondent pieces, and I was lucky enough to do a bunch of those. And, you know, it was a short-lived year and a half, but at the same time, it was influential. Like, I see it now, like, talking to Bowen Yang and him telling me, like, the impact that show had on his life and so many other comics who felt like, okay, our voices can be heard now. I think we were a little ahead of our time, which is always nice when they make the documentary later, but not necessarily good in real time. Yeah. You know, because the show just it was too beautiful to live.
Some would say too smart too. I mean, there are shows out there you're like, oh, this is too smart to stay around. People aren't gonna. Well, the thing too is, you know, Kamau purposely put together that writing room, purposely put together so many diverse voices. And when you see that now, like, you can always tell when you watch a show now when the cast and the production is diverse, when it's done with heart and art and purpose versus, you know, television and Hollywood just saying like, well, look at us. We have some diversity here.
Done with great intention.
Yeah.
And, you know, Kamau hired a lot of his friends, which is an incredible thing.
Yeah.
And at the same time, it's never easy telling your friends what to do and that you are the boss. But like, he was in this really unfortunate position and a fortunate position where he had people who really understood his voice. And at the same time, like, you had to tell them what to do.
Yeah.
But it was special, you know, like I look back on that time and I can't believe it's already been 13 years. Like the show is.
Oh, my gosh.
It's been a long time, you know, and it's nice to see like Guy Branum has gone on to host his own show and write for other shows. And, Janine Brito has created animated shows since then. Aparna Nancherla has written a book and appeared on television all over the place.
Oh, my gosh.
I've done all right. So it just feels like the legacy of the show continues with the folks that were associated with the show, wrote on the show.
Yeah. And it was really sad when the show ended, but like, you know, I read Kamau's book and I realized that, as you said, it needed to stop, it needed to go on. And that's when you move on and you basically hit the road. Like you've been on the road constantly we met in 2015 in New York, and I don't think I've seen a time when you're like taking a long break. You love the work. I mean, you really, really love the road.
There were 2 years in there that I took a break because I had to, as of the result of a global pandemic.
If you believe that kind of stuff, Hari, I mean, what are you talking about? Sorry. No, I'm kidding. I'm sorry.
A government project gone awry. I it's funny, Greg. I don't like being on the road. I love the shows.
Yes.
The actual traveling is exhausting, and I have a 4-year-old now, and it's becoming more painful to leave. I feel so privileged to have an audience and have such a deep connection with so many of the people that come to my shows that I feel like, all right, this is what makes it worth it. And if it wasn't worth it anymore, like I shouldn't be doing this.
Well, so. And that's the thing too, is that I'm not going to begrudge other comedians. Everyone's got their process. Everyone has their style. There are people out there who just love to talk about their everyday life. And you talk about your everyday life, but like you put, there's a deeper connection to what you're going through as a person in this world, an experience you're trying to convey to the people who are in the audience. And for those who aren't familiar, we have a snippet from Hari. He sent to us, this will give you a nice taste of what you could come to expect this weekend and what you do as a comedian when you write your material. Go ahead and play that, Cal.
Nothing I could do on stage could possibly hurt race relations more than what Tucker Carlson has done in his career. Even in the last year, man, he keeps pushing this white replacement theory, which is so racist, man. And now he's denying it, but there's been so much footage of it, right? And this theory, let me explain this theory to you. The theory is that people from other countries are going to come to this country and they're going to commit violent acts against white people and steal their jobs and interbreed with the white population and eliminate the white race, right? That is not a theory. Right? It's karma, but it's not a theory. Are you upset we stole your business plan? Like, what is the... It angers me so much because who is he talking about? He's talking about me, my partner, my kid, and my parents. F*** that dude, man. It's not even a legitimate theory. It's not a theory. It's a fear you have. A fear you have isn't the same thing as a theory. Like, I have fears too, right? I fear that one day there's going to be a bunch of other South Asian comics who are younger and more hungry and more talented than I am. They'll take my spot, right? And I won't be able to support myself and my family, right? I call this the Hari replacement theory. And that, of course, would never happen. Right? There's no factual basis for that. It would never happen. Right? I don't know if you're laughing sarcastically or not.
I mean, there's a lot of comedians out there who want to talk about politics and want to talk about the deeper things, politics, racial identity in this, and maybe because of the time they've spent on stage, they're not there yet. You got to be really delicate with your pen and how you present yourself and what you want to talk about. Cause sometimes it can just get down to like, wow, I just feel like I'm being yelled at right now. But you do it in such a way that's just like, you talk about these heavy topics and yet we're still laughing. We're still on board and we're like on your team because we want to see where you go next.
I mean, it's changed over time. I definitely feel like I was more ranty early in my career, and it took a while to understand that there is a way to keep the audience who might not be automatic, who might not automatically be into what you're doing, on board long enough to hear the stuff that's a little heavier. Like, I love the clip that you played because I feel like it's a great example of what I do. Like, it was about a pretty, big topic about white replacement theory. It's about racism, but it was also like, it's about my family.
Yeah.
It's about my life. It's about how it actually has an impact, and it ends in a silly way, which is always like a something I aim to do, find a way to have a silly out so the audience is still with me.
That's something that I've watched you over the years get better and better at, is being a silly guy on stage. Really, really hard to see someone mix, politics, race relations, and silly, and make it work. And you do it, and just because, whether it's taking off your glasses and making a funny face, or just what you did in that video, it's always very, very fun. And we're going to keep the conversation going about comedy in general, traveling. You're listening to two friends talking right now, so it's really, really fun. And if you want to come see the show, get your tickets now, laughingtap.com. Two shows tonight, one show available for tomorrow, 7:30 and 10 tonight, 10 o'clock tomorrow. Tickets are incredibly affordable. No drink minimum. Come on out. Have some fun. We'd love to see you out there. Hari Kondabolu is my guest for the half hour. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is on vacation. We'll be returning on Tuesday, but you got me hosting for the day, as well as got behind the boards, sweet Cal B, Calvin Butenhoff. And my guest is Hari Kondabolu, comedian, actor, director, does all the things, writer. He does all the things. One of the things I did want to mention is he has got two, not just one, but two comedy specials available. One on Netflix, Warn Your Relatives, and the new one, Vacation Baby, which is available on Hulu right now. I feel very privileged, Hari, that I've been around for both of those specials as far as like opening and seeing the process of you going from a little maybe less of 2 hours of new material and taking that, and over the course of 9 months, well, actually, to be perfectly honest, you pare it down even quicker than that. But by the time you get to that time for the special, it has been honed and polished and shined. And, and you take such care with your words that it's not even just about like, oh, I'm going to cut this joke. It's like, I'm going to replace that word because this word is funnier than that word. And I need, to open it up for where I'm going to go next. It's such, as Eric Idle said about Monty Python and their work, he was all about the carpentry of comedy and making sure it's properly made.
Yeah, no, I think I put a lot of effort into that, especially when you're tackling subject matter that's aggressive, you know, about race, about politics in general. Like, that stuff counts. Like, you're trying to get as much laughter and levity out of it as possible, which is not easy considering the subject matter. So, you know, I think in comedy, wording does count and delivery obviously counts, but I think I feel added pressure to deliver because like the subject matter is what it is, right? Like, it's delicate and I don't want to lose them. And if I can keep them in by changing a word that gets one more laugh in, then great.
Yeah. And I personally feel like there's you and I exist in an industry now that's heavily scrutinized both inside and outside. And the big thing is always like, well, people can't say what they want anymore. I'm being censored. It's like, first of all, no, you're not. And yes, you can say anything you want. That just means there are consequences to what you say.
Right.
And, you know, when you watch as much comedy as we do, when you see someone say a joke or a word or a phrase that can be taken as offensive or taken as hurtful, and you know that you're like, I know that's not what you were trying to say, though. You just didn't find the right words. You're just not working at it. And if you just change this with this, you'll get your point across and you won't be punching down or just hurting people's feelings, which seems like no reason at all. It's very frustrating, but it's also very hard because comedians now want to believe that they're the arbiters of truth when really we're silly clowns standing on a stage.
Yeah. And there's obviously a great deal of truth in the words we say, otherwise it wouldn't resonate. But like, we're also shaping truth while it's happening, right? Like, it is two things. We reflect, but we also shape. And I think the shaping part's the scary part, because that's where responsibility lies. And that's what we don't want, which is impossible as an artist in a public sphere. Like, there is a responsibility with the words you say, right? You're not just reflecting society. Like, people are actually being shaped by your words, acting based on your words. Like, so, especially when I was younger, so much of my world came from comedy. Like, I understood the world through what I was watching. You know, it doesn't matter that I grew up in New York. When you're a teenager, you grew up on media. You grew up on television and on the computer. And so the things I was taking in, that's what the world looked like. And so to me, there is a responsibility in that. And to ignore that is either you're lying to yourself or to everyone else, or it is extremely selfish.
Yeah. I completely agree with you. I don't know if it's ever happened to me, but like, if I said a joke on stage and someone came up to me and said, what you said like really hit me hard and like it hurt, I couldn't imagine a world where I'd be like, well, too bad. That's my comedy. Deal with it.
I mean, it's hard. In my world, it's like, let me take that in and decide whether I agree or disagree and deal with the fallback from it. You know, that's what it really is about, is can you deal with whatever that pushback is? And to be honest, you know, for all these folks who are talking about getting canceled, who gets canceled? Nobody really gets canceled.
Nobody.
For the most part, if anything, the cancellation as a stand-up comic is worn as a medal, and you end up getting a lot more fans and you get maybe a different fan base or one you didn't necessarily expect, but that's what it ends up being. And so, you know, all these like First Amendment kind of warriors, like, it's a two-way street. Like, you're going to get pushback for what you say, but also, like, the thing is, you have to be a good comic to succeed. Like, that's just kind of what it is. Like, you have to be good at your task. So whether you're saying things that maybe I agree with or things that are incredibly damaging, you still have to be good at the art form. And so at the end of the day, if you're good at the art form and you get canceled, that's a boost, that's publicity, and that's also people who are on that bandwagon of, you can't say anything anymore, but this guy does. He says exactly what he wants to say, and I'm all about that. And everything, like, to me, like, to dismiss something as a joke is also to, it's just a joke, what does it really mean? It's also kind of discredits the art form. It's like, no, we put in a lot of work on what we're going to say because we think they are like meaningful ideas. So then when you get pushback to say they weren't meaningful, what was all the work for then?
Yeah, and that's where I say like, oh, it wasn't work for you. You were just going on stage and doing whatever, whereas there's other people out there who are really crafting an art form for themselves. So in the last few minutes we have, you're in Milwaukee, you are working on the new hour. There's a lot of, so anything else you're working on you want to talk about real quick?
I feel like the stand-up is the main thing. Okay. You know, I think I always have other things in my back pocket, but like, this is, you know, I'm still a stand-up comic primarily.
Yeah.
And this is still like the thing I love to do the most.
Great.
And the thing I'm best at. So, you know, right now I'm just like working on the next hour and we'll see what happens around it. But I think that's true with all comics, regardless of the level of success. Like at the end of the day, like Jon Stewart still wants more butts in the seats because he's done television. And because, you know, you still want to do stand up.
Absolutely. Well, and you have your chance to see Hari tonight at the Laughing Tap, 7:30 and 10. Limited tickets for the 7:30 left. 10 o'clock available tomorrow. 10 p.m. is also available Saturday. Early is sold out. LaughingTap.com. Get your tickets now. We want to see you down there. You'll see Hari perform and you'll see me perform. You're welcome. Yeah. So thank you so much for being my guest today, buddy. I really appreciate it. I will see you a little later today.
Yes.
Take good care of yourself. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We're going to be right back. What is your favorite TV show that got canceled too quickly? Share it with us. Text, call, stay close. Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close. Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is on a much deserved vacation for the next few days. Returning on Tuesday, I'm sitting in the big chair taking the hosting duties, and I've got sweet Calby, the Calvinator. Calvtini, that's a new one that we've been doing. We've got Calvtini behind the boards as always. And you can get in touch with us, especially now, because what we're going to be talking about, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, call or text, same number, or you can drop a comment on the live stream. We are currently live streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the place this house still calls Twitter. Kelvin, do you know what's coming up on Monday?
I believe we have a very special co-host.
We do. Actually, that's true. I wasn't even thinking about that, but that's great. We have Angela Lang, the executive director of Black Leaders Organizing Communities, here for the entire show. We're going to have Darren Madison, who is a county supervisor here. We're going to be talking about all sorts of great stuff going on in the community. Angela is a fantastic human being, an amazing activist, and she will be with us from 10 until noon on Monday. But the thing that I was talking about, Calvin, which is fine. Thank you for reminding me. Oh, my goodness. I like to believe that sometimes I'm like a newsman, Calvin, and I'm just like, I've got my paper here. It's like, this just in. Monday begins the Break into Spring Text to Win statewide contest. Starting at 7 a.m. on Monday, just like before, we've done it before with these Text to Win contests. Civic Media's next contest is right around the corner. 7 a.m. Monday, March 24th is your first chance to listen for a keyword to enter in to be an hourly winner and enter for our grand prize. There's four chances a day. 7 a.m., 11 a.m., let's see here. Yeah, 11 a.m., 1 p.m., 4 p.m., and then that goes for 2 weeks. You'll have chances to win all those days. Daily chances to win Chula Vista Getaways, Milwaukee Brewers Club level seats, which are great seats, by the way. You also get, or you might be able to win $100 cash. We'll let you know what the prize is every time. And every entry you do will get you closer to the grand prize, which is a queen size mattress from Verlo Mattress. And I'm pretty sure, like we've always done, there'll be opportunities maybe to nab a extra vote or extra entry if you'd like. But that starts on Monday, March 24th, 7 a.m. is the first time we're going to be putting out the keyword. Now, in order to play the game, you must download the Civic Media app. It's free. Go to your app store, type in Civic Media, load it up. then you can text us directly through that app. You can also listen through that app as well. You can find your favorite stations. You can mark your favorite stations. You can also customize for what you want to get from us, because we'll send you news if you'd like. That Civic Media app is your all-in-one tool to get to what our programming is all about. All of our content right there for you. But Monday, break into spring, text to win statewide contest begins March 24th, Monday at 7 a.m. Don't miss it. Be a part of it. We always love seeing the text coming through. So, Calvin, really quick question for you. I'm going to be a newsman again. I'm going to get my paperwork right here. I'm very, very special like that. Do you have, I know that you are not a huge TV watcher, but in the annals of television history, there's always a good show out there that people like that just hits, whether it's a comedy, whether it's a drama, whatever it is, and then it's gone. One season gone, two seasons gone, and then it's just, and it always sticks with you, whether it's a show you watched as a kid or a show you're watching now, and you just want to tell everybody about it. And that's what I want to talk about during this segment. I want to hear from everyone listening on the radio, listening on the app, watching on the live stream. Share with us a TV show that was gone too quick. One or two seasons, that's it. One or two seasons, and we can share it out there. We can watch it, because a lot of times most of these shows are streaming. Calvin, do you have a show that hits with you?
You know, I was combing through canceled TV shows trying to find one. And a lot of the ones that I really were thinking of still ran for 5 or 6 or 7 seasons. But one show that I did think of, it was called Revolution. It was a sci-fi drama.
Okay.
On, I want to say it was on Fox, but it was on one of the major networks in 2012. And it was like this post-apocalyptic like type thing where there was no electricity, and it was really good. It actually had Giancarlo Esposito in it.
Whoa.
Yeah, I know. And he was definitely the biggest name, but there's other people you might recognize from other network TV shows now, like Tracy Spiridoukas. She's been in like the Chicago Fire series, I believe.
Yeah.
One of those type of things. But yeah, it was a really good show, and it ended. It was very clearly setting up for more, and then it's not coming back.
And that's the worst too. And especially with sci-fi shows, because sci-fi shows will build up these huge endings for their season. They'll be like, all right, see you next season when we find out what was the thing that made the thing happen to the entire planet. Oh, it was canceled? Great. But I see that a lot of shows, what happens is they'll turn their second seasons into comic books. They'll turn their second seasons into other forms of media that you can at least take in. But yeah, that's got to be so frustrating. We've already got a bunch of great comments on the live stream or on the text line. But before we do that, Wayne in Montello was asking for me to spell our guest name. It's Hari, H-A-R-I, Kondabolu, K-O-N-D-A-B-O-L-U. Hari Kondabolu, and he is a fantastic comedian. You should come out and see him tonight or tomorrow. We'd love to have you at the Laughing Tap. One that's garnering, I would say, like, so far, it's gotten the most votes, and I'm going to bring up Chris, Alicia on the live stream. My favorite TV show that was canceled too quickly will always be Firefly. That's also agreed with by John in Menominee Falls. He said, one of my favorite shows ever. It was kind of like a dark version of Star Trek, and a lot more likely. Canceled after 2 seasons. But then they made the movie Serenity, which tried to tie it all up in a bow. But that is, when you talk about shows gone way too soon, I think you're always going to run into somebody who says Firefly, because it was just so interesting. Did you ever watch Firefly, Calvin?
I have not. It's one of those that up there with like Battlestar Galactica that I feel like I should watch, but yeah. I haven't ever gotten around to it.
Another one here on the text line, Brian from Green Bay, favorite show canceled too soon. I almost feel like he's messing with us. This is a real show, by the way. What I'm about to say, this is a real show. It was called Cop Rock. It was a show back in, I believe, the 90s, Calvin, that was a cop show. Imagine Law and Order but it was a musical. I'm not talking a comedy either. I'm talking like a cop drama that was a musical. It was ridiculous. It was canceled, I think, after 3 or 4 episodes, because they were like, at one point, I remember one of the episodes, a guy was singing about how he trafficked children. I don't know how you write songs about that, but ABC, it was like, you know what? Maybe this was a bridge too far and they took it off the air. But yeah, Cop Rock was an actual show. You can YouTube episodes and see just where we were at in the 90s with our thinking. Another one, Westworld. Brian in Milwaukee says Westworld was amazing. Cut short with a cliffhanger. That was one of those shows that got huge, huge ratings and then fell off fast. And people were like, I don't really care about this show anymore.
The first season, I will say, is one of the best seasons of television I ever watched. I absolutely loved the first season of Westworld. I got like two episodes in the second season, and it just, I completely lost interest. It did nothing for me.
Well, from what I understand, it also just sort of, it lost focus. It went just everywhere. And people were saying, I don't really care about this show anymore. And that was the thing is, you're right. People were talking about Westworld in that first season like it was another Breaking Bad or Sopranos. And then no one was talking about it because no one cared anymore. But we're talking about your favorite TV shows that were canceled too quickly, one or two seasons. Give us a call, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Drop a comment in the live stream. We're on Facebook, YouTube, and the site we still call Twitter. Bronwyn listening to WMDX says Twin Peaks. I never got in that show. Very weird. David Lynch, I'm not smart enough to understand his writing. Just, I feel like you have to have a special kind of brain to understand it. And Twin Peaks was one of those things where I'm like, I don't know if I can do that one. Mr. Aaron Zommers, the producer extraordinaire for Todd Alba, who actually, by the way, stick around after the show. When we're done, we'll have some news for you, followed by the Todd Alba show and followed by Maggie Dawn, Dom Salvia. You know the drill, but stick around. Keep listening to the Civic Media Radio Network for all our great shows. Aaron says this, it might not be a good show, but Pretty Little Liars had a spinoff called The Perfectionist that got canceled after one season, and I'm very upset about it. I can't help but love the convoluted drama of Pretty Little Liars. I never got into Pretty Little Liars. That seemed like so much drama, but that sounds exactly what I was expecting was exactly what you got. Someone listening to WAUK says Oz. That was another great show people really loved. That was a legendary show, a prison show that pulled zero punches. Very, very violent, very, very gritty, very, very realistic, and very beloved of, especially that late 90s, early 2000s HBO Sopranos and that sort of programming. People really, really love that show. Maureen listening in, Nina loved Quantum Leap. I did too. That was a great show. My mom and I used to watch that show every week. I don't know if it was I think that lasted longer, though. I think that was like five or six seasons, but it was still a great show. And then they rebooted it, and that wasn't bad, but they didn't need to.
I couldn't. The reboot did absolutely. I never saw the original.
Yeah.
But the reboot, it was like grating to me. I like turned it off every time.
Why? What did it do to you?
I don't know. I don't like anthology period pieces.
Okay.
I guess is really what bugged me. It's like, oh, this episode we're in 1840. This episode we're in 1950. Like, I don't know. It's just a little hokey to me.
I just like how much. No. Well, then don't watch the original because it's the exact same thing, just with a different guy. That's funny to me. Well, we got Chris Casper listening to Madison at WAUK says Stargate Universe. I never got into that world. I'm not a huge sci-fi fan to begin with, but I feel like when you're talking about Stargate and all those shows, the fandom is built. It's kind of like Firefly. It's the fandom is built so large now that to be at my age to say, hey, you know, I feel like watching Firefly, they're like, too late. We're locked up, closed. No more members are allowed. Because all their fans are there. So Chris listening to WMDX in Sauk County says The River from 2012, which I've never heard of. Never heard of this at all. No idea. I'll have to look that up to get some context. Is it a drama? I have no idea. Great shows canceled too soon from Joanna in Madison listening to WMDX. Sense 8, so good. The Wilds. I watched Sense 8. That's an intense show. Done by the Wachowskis. And it has a lot of messaging in there, and it's very intense and gets very, very steamy at some points during that show. I would just say One of my favorites was Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip. It was only, and Sports Night. Both Aaron Sorkin shows, one lasted one season and another show lasted two. Great Sorkin writing, great back and forth. Mr. Luke Mathers, Cal, the handsome and capable Luke Mathers is on the text line. A show called Alcatraz, where prisoners from the 1960s were showing up modern day, only ran for one season, but I really liked it, and it left off on such a cliffhanger. That's where I feel like TV owes us. If they're going to cancel a show on a cliffhanger, we should at least get like a mini movie or something. Allow us to have some closure. That's the biggest problem. When they cancel it and we get absolutely no closure whatsoever. That, my friends, is the true crime of television. And that is my statement for this segment. We're going to keep the show going for one more. We've got This Shouldn't Be a Thing. It's Okay to Laugh edition. Because it is okay to laugh. You want to laugh tonight? Come to the Laughing Tap, where Hari Kondabolu will be headlining two shows, 7:30 and 10. Two shows tomorrow. Only 10 p.m. is available. LaughingTap.com. See what I did there, Calvin? That's called a segue plug. Now, we're going to go take a break. We're going to get some water, get some snacks, come back. This Shouldn't Be a Thing is following next. You are listening to Mad and Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. My name is Greg Bach. Thank you so much for being here. Stay close. You're amazing. Let no one tell you differently.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. My name is Greg Bach, sitting in for Jane Matinair, who is on vacation. She'll be back on Tuesday, but I got you for the next few minutes. We got Sweet Cal B on the boards. Sweet Cal B, you excited it's Friday?
You know it, Greg.
The excitement overfloweth. Don't forget, after the show today, we got news followed by Todd Alba. Todd continues to seek refuge in Richland Center and is joining him. And is joining him on this show is Phil Nee, station manager of WRCE, WRCO, and the host of Those Were the Days. And then you can stick around for the final edition of What's Worse ahead of the weekend. So stick around for Todd Alba. And then after that, we got Maggie Dunn from 2 to 4, and then from 4 to 6, Dom Salvia, and then from 6 to 8, Pete Schwabe with Nightlight. And then wonderful programming after that. Oh, my goodness. And then you have a nice weekend ahead of you. We hope you have a really good time. I want to thank Dr. Lyerly for being my first hour co-host. Always bringing the good vibes, always bringing the good knowledge, always bringing the goodness, because she is a good person with a great heart. So also I want to thank Hari Kondabolu for being my guest for the first half hour of the second hour. That makes sense. The first half hour of the second hour. That made sense. Great to talk to him. I'm so happy he's in town, because it's not just about seeing him perform, but he is a dear friend. And it's always great to have him in my sphere of sight to see great comedy. Come on out, LaughingTap.com. Two shows tonight, one show available for tomorrow. Come say hi. We'd love to say hi. Calvin, are you going to come say hi this weekend?
You know?
Don't lie to me. Don't lie to me.
I'm not going to lie to you.
Okay.
It sounds like a lot of fun. Hari seems really funny.
Yeah.
But I have plans with my video games.
All right. Okay. Also, PJ on the live stream says, I agree. The Quantum Leap reboot was horrible from our last month. Show's canceled too soon. Yeah, I couldn't get through it. I watched four episodes. I'm like, I'm done with this. So, but that's all in the past. That's a Quantum Leap forward now, because it is 11:54, Calvin. What time is it?
This shouldn't be a thing.
And as always, if you have a thing that should not be, send it to Jane and me at janesays@civicmedia.us, because we want to hear from you. You can send us topics for stories, people to reach out to. This shouldn't be a thing. Make sure This Shouldn't Be a Thing is more lighthearted. We don't want to, we're not going super deep on things on this one. We want to have some good times before we sign off. But today's This Shouldn't Be a Thing comes courtesy of the independent.co.uk. This is the It's Okay to Laugh edition. The headline reads as such. Top UK comedy club bans audience members with Botox after, quote, numerous complaints. So as we all know, Botox is injected into your, well, into many places on your body. But when it's injected into your face, it limits the mobility of emotion, if you will. Smiling, frowning, laughing, crying. Your face has more of a stony feel to it if you get real deep into it. And apparently, at the Top Secret Comedy Club, who hosts some of the biggest names in comedy, such as Jack Whitehall, Amy Schumer, and a guy named Dave Chappelle, who I guess is funny, they're getting complaints from the acts. They're getting complaints, Calvin, from the comics because they see audience members with Botox injections and they're not laughing. Some would ask the question, are you funny in the first place? But no, these are world-class comedians. And it says, in a drastic move, those with Botox will be unable to see similar stars live at the London venues after stand-up acts shared their concerns that audience members with the frozen faces aren't reacting to their jokes. This is a real article, by the way. This is not The Onion. The owner, he said it was a last resort decision because, and this is real, I mean, I own a venue. And if your venue has a bad reputation, people aren't going to come perform there. And if comics are saying people aren't laughing, they're not going to come perform there. So this venue owner said, all right, if you have Botox and you can't laugh, then you can't come to the show, which that's a limbo that I don't want to hopefully ever deal with. But then we don't really deal with a lot of Botox in the Milwaukee area. Calvin, what do you think about that?
It seems like it'd be incredibly hard to enforce.
Yeah.
But also, I'm kind of surprised that this is like, this sounds like a very LA problem.
Yes.
And this is a London club. So I find that kind of funny.
The owner says our incredibly talented comedians are fed up with performing to reactionless faces. Again, are they funny though? I've had numerous complaints from performers who find it increasingly challenging to gauge audience engagement and bounce off their reactions. Comedy thrives on connection and facial expressions play a huge part. We want people to laugh, cry, frown, sneer, but frozen faces from Botox impacts the entire atmosphere. I get where you're coming from, but as someone who stood on many stages of many sizes, look somewhere else then. Look somewhere else. I know it's hard when they're not laughing at you, you're fixated on them, but if they have a face full of Botox and you know that, give them a sign then. Give them a little paddle. Be like, you're funny. Snap finger, clap hands, or just go through your mouth that you can't open up because you have no emotions left because your face is stuffed full of Botox. Either way, if you've got a nice natural face, you are welcome at the Top Secret Comedy Club. And that, Calvin, is another edition of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you to everyone who called in, texted in, dropped a comment in the live stream. Once again, thank you to Dr. Lyerly. Thank you to Hari Kundabolu for being my guest today. Thank you, Calvin. Thank you, engineers. As we always say, without you, nothing works. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of this. And we hope you have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. You are amazing. You are awesome. Let no one tell you differently, especially yourself. We got news coming up. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close. Stay tuned. Have a wonderful weekend. Bye-bye, everybody.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.